your say. 1-300-872-911. Macca's Talking Cans. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland on 846 4CA.
Well, if you read yesterday's Cairns Post or watching TV bulletins last night or whatever, you would have seen this appalling situation with this car smashed to smithereens on its side. And it reads here, police recovered a tradie's extensively damaged Toyota Hilux, allegedly stolen from Mareeba last week. And this is the remains of it in Mooraboo, the photograph taken on Sunday. And it reads here, Max Cherepanov's Toyota Hilux, allegedly stolen from his Mareeba home while his wife and child were sleeping last week, was recovered from a Mooraboo street Sunday morning, and it wasn't a pretty sight. The vehicle had rolled twice, the force of the impact ripping the canopy from the tray before coming to rest on its side. Mr. Cherepanov said a trailer containing his civil construction gear was dumped in Mareeba. He was grateful to have recovered some of his tools, but heading into the festive period, the alleged theft could not have come at a worse time. Police said officers were called to a traffic crash at Callum Street, Mooraboo, 6:20 a.m. Sunday. No occupants were with the vehicle when police arrived, but patrols of the area located two adults who were taken into custody. According to information provided to Mr. Cherepanov by police, youths allegedly stole the vehicle before passing it to a second group that was seen tearing through the streets of Manunda and Mooraboo in the early hours of Sunday before crashing the car. This stolen vehicle, it's been carried on at an industrial scale. They actually pass one vehicle onto another group that didn't successfully pick up a stolen car that night or whatever. Oh, you can have this one, we'll just get another one. It's just obscene what's going on. It is obscene what is going on. It says up to Thursday last week, 14 cars have been stolen. Cairns area, December, well, that's up to, 22 this morning. The annual total back then, 1235. The annual total now, compared to last year, 782. Listen to this. This is 1,243 cases of absolute misery, the victims. 1,243 for the year so far. And what's being done about it? Interesting. Now, you have a listen to this. This is the first sentence of this article from Peter Carruthers yesterday. It reads, youths alleged to have ripped off a Tablelands tradies utility had been back on the street for less than 24 hours after being released from juvenile detention. Now, if it's odds on they're going to go straight out and steal another one, they've probably stolen, I don't know, 50 or something before. Why are they released? Why do we have to endure this ongoing nightmare and risk to our precious members of our families? Back on the street for less than 24 hours after being released from juvenile detention. This is just, it's an absolute insult to the intelligence of all of us that we have to endure this madness at the hands of the people who make these decisions in this Queensland government. It's atrocious what we're having to put up with. Anyway, you can imagine what this poor bugger up in Mareeba is thinking. I just put a call through to Ken Harley. Ken's got strong views on this farce as well. He's a local crime emergency activist, is Ken Harley. He's on the line. G'day, Ken.
G'day, John. How you doing?
Can you believe this? There it is in print. Back on the street for less than 24 hours after being released from juvenile detention.
I can well believe it, John, because it is true. It goes on all day and all night. Mm. This catch and release thing, and you know, I do a bit of voluntary with kids and people that are struggling, and I hear it all day and all night. I hear these same stories. Mm. Some of these kids that I talk to are those kids that do that sort of stuff. Mm. And it is just normal, John, to them. It's like you and me eating Weet-Bix. Mm. It is normal to their parents and everything. It is now just normal. A lot of these stolen cars get hidden in mum and dad's garage, and they bring it out so they can use it and put it back in for a while, bring it out and use it. Then they pass it on to someone else, you know, somewhere else, so it's not seen in the one area too often. And then you have, you know, like in Edmonton there, videos are posted of they pour one copper in a car, pursuing or trying to do something about, I should say, trying to do something about two stolen cars full of kids hooning around at the Edmonton Boat Ramp.
Yeah.
And one copper in a car, what's he supposed to do?
Exactly.
You know, we have ongoing things in Mareeba. We're confronted again recently with a large group of kids armed with star pickets. Mm. And why the council over there are just continuing to use star pickets around their construction sites in the town itself, in the town centre, it's got me done, because they're just automatic weapons.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so we've got at least 18 kids and at least 3 star pickets being brandished and residents being challenged. One poor bloody copper turns up.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm it. Mm. I'm it.
Mm.
What's he going to do?
Mm.
What, you know, looking at this poor bugger, he's one of many tradies and business people. Remember, a lot of these cars are business, you know, salesmen and people who work from home, but they use their cars to visit their business sites and everything. You know, these effects are profound on those people.
Mm.
And then they can't earn an income. This guy in Mareeba, he can't finish his jobs he's got to finish. And it's Christmas and everybody wants their jobs done yesterday. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And while all this is going on, it's creating trauma. It's creating stress. Those older people and infirm people, it's making them bloody sick. And they can't, no one wants to measure it. No one wants to have a go at really looking at it and exposing it properly.
Mm.
The flow on effects of all this, the effects on the straight people, the straight kids, the decent, the real good kids that have got to live in this environment where all this is going on around them.
Mm.
And they've got to resist it, and they're pressured, and they're bashed and what have you, because they won't participate in the games of breaking enters and stealing cars. These kids try and hold themselves together.
Mm.
They've got nowhere to go to get away from it, and they're stuck there. Just think about those kids and those families that are trying to keep their kids under control.
Yeah.
And the environment, this filth is all around them.
Mm.
You know, no one's measuring it. No one's looking at it. And as for these fabulous 4 far North Queensland failures, so-called politicians we've got up here.
Mm.
In Mareeba now, we call them the FFFs, and that's the Fabulous 4 Far North Queensland Failures.
Mm.
You know, where are they? Where are they? Yeah, they're hiding under a rock somewhere and they're into their chicken and champagne.
Mm.
You know, it's a disgrace. Mm. It's a disaster. The effects on people are going to go on and on and on.
Mm.
We're creating all these criminals. This is supposed to be to keep kids and people out of jail. Well, this is putting more and more in jail in the future, because every day that this goes on, we are making more criminals. We are passing the costs of all this on to future generations.
Yeah.
This is just an absolute filthy, stinking mess. And for ResiCare and all those agencies that have paid all this money to do all these wonderful things, where are the measurements when they're granted all this money that they're getting? Where are the measurements or the performance reports that you and I have to face in our businesses or our employment every day?
Mm.
Where are the measurements of these people? Where's the success rate?
Mm.
It's not there, John.
You
it's
just have to think, how dare they? How dare they do nothing to stop this nightmare? Interesting, you just made a point about these stolen vehicles passed on to another group because they might be wanting to use them or whatever they do with them, apart from trash them and burn them. But you made the point too that they might go home, put them in the garage, close the door, use them, pass them on to somebody else, needs them or whatever. Mum and Dad are a complete wake-up to this joke. How come Mum and Dad can't be prosecuted? Oh, they might say, oh, well, yeah, but there were only 14 and 15 were these kids, so we can't do anything. Well, be that as it may, I think that's ridiculous, but be that as it may. But how dare the authorities do nothing about the mothers and fathers of these little criminals that fundamentally provide shelter and protection for them? Why isn't action taken about their involvement in this crime?
That's correct. That's correct. And it's there for all to see. The kids in particular talk about it.
Mm.
They talk about it.
Mm.
It's there for all to see. And the poor bloody coppers, you know, who'd want to be, look, I don't want to talk about what happened last night, but before that, The poor bloody coppers, who'd want to be a copper? No wonder they're leaving faster than they could recruit more. Mm. Who'd want to be get caught up in this mess of grabbing them, of taking risks to grab them? Because you don't know if they're armed or not. 95% of them are. Mm. So who'd want to be taking the risk, all these risks, for no reason, and then having to deal with the same risks with the same people the next day or the next night?
Yeah.
You know, you talk to the cops, the poor bloody cops, they talk to people like myself and others, they talk to us all the time and they tell us the reality of what's going on, how it really is, and they're just demoralised. Why should they have to put a uniform on and arm themselves and go out and take risks on the street every day unnecessarily?
Mm.
Because if you get five or six of these little demons together up in the car park at Orville Shopping Centre or something like that, you don't want to be there.
Mm.
You wouldn't want to be there taking them on.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and the problem is, John, the ongoing problem is that this Queensland government are passing on to the coming governments, and how the hell Christopher and them are going to deal with it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the problem is it's become a way of life. It is normal, like us eating Weet-Bix. It's just normal. And you're going to have to break that. Just think about the older people that we know, the grandmothers and grandfathers, not many of them left, that came from terrible, terrible struggling backgrounds, but they forced education through their families. They forced them to learn etiquette and how to get on with their fellow man, and they're watching that all coming undone.
Mm.
What a mess.
Ken, this has been very powerful. Thank you.
Yeah, see you, John.
That's Ken Harley. Ken, he's become the local crime emergency activist. He speaks so strongly